due to the wonders of modern technology, I'm able to bring this to you now. Don't touch your knob. We're in charge of the frequency and amplitude modulation.
Nice job, Doctor.
Support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. My name is Steve Skinner. I'm here with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
We're taking your phone calls at 970-963-2976. On this Halloween, put something up on the slab and we'll take a look at it here. If you got something bothering you, printer's not working, phone seizing up, computer not acting normal, network debilitated, call us.
Do you have a scary ransomware virus happening on your computer?
We'll put it on the slab and take a look. Give us a call. 963-2976, 970-963-2976. We've been getting lots of calls lately. Show's always so much better with you involved.
I noticed that one of your family members was in North Dakota this morning.
Really? Yeah, right. My daughter Riley.
And
what's
I went
the
there.
Deal with that?
So I went there myself.
What, is that just a way to show solidarity with the Native Americans that are protesting the pipeline, or what is that?
Well, you know, the original dialogue or idea was that that the law enforcement officials there were using Facebook for some nefarious purposes, which Snopes has kind of debunked that possibility, or, you know, they've kind of, you know, of course it's being denied by the law enforcement people, but these are the people that are sicking dogs on people. So, but anyway, right now it's down to solidarity. And as of early afternoon, 220,000 people, at least 220,000 people had checked in.
What do you do? So, how do you do it? What is it? It's a Facebook thing.
So you basically log on to your Facebook account and you click the link at the top of the Facebook page that says check in.
Uh-huh.
And you basically, let's see, where is it? Why is it not on my page? let's see. I think actually you click and start a new, to start a new post.
Uh-huh.
And there is a, there are five little icons below that window. One of them looks like a little Google pin, you know, like the little balloon.
Like where you're.
And you hover over that and basically click on that. It says check in. And then it takes you to a map and or allows you to choose a geographical location. So you type in Standing Rock.
Oh.
And it comes right up.
And it says that you're at Standing Rock.
It does. But
in spirit.
Exactly. There's also, there's another Facebook post that a lot of people, including your loved one, had kind of piggybacked with that, you know, uses a bunch of words switched around, and they call it randing stock, and because just in case the police are watching.
Okay.
So.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat. Using social media to join forces.
Yeah. I actually had a couple of people put up on my page. They said, you drove there?
Right.
So it's, and actually when my wife first saw it, she said, that does it. I'm going. If Steve Skinner's daughter's there, I'm going. So.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So,
yeah. Did you consider going, Steve?
I'd love to go there.
Yep.
I have work to do here.
Isn't that crazy that we're like, you know, people are getting bit, having dogs sicked on them and all kinds. It's like, and everybody's like, I want to go there.
I know. I know.
And that's impressive, I think.
Well, I could bring my dog and he would protect.
Yes.
The natives.
He would provide a first line of defense.
Right. All 15 pounds of them.
You'd get bitten about 15 seconds later.
He would not. He'd take get right up there and start licking at the Doberman pincher.
Yeah. That's called turning the other cheek.
That's right. 963-2976. So what else happened in the computer world these days?
Well, I've dealt with a really nasty ransomware virus. But I think maybe, no, I wasn't talking about it last week. But yeah, since then, yet another ransomware virus. And the general rules of thumb that I would pass on to people are, do not open email attachments unless you have been specifically notified by the sender that they are sending you an email attachment.
Or if you haven't, call them or text them or use some other form of communication and be like, so is this real or not? Because if you trust the person, you know, contact them through another means, or if they've contacted you already, to expect the item.
Yeah, we're back to Facebook or back to email attachments causing major problems.
Really?
And and especially in a business environment, it's especially scary because, you know, in a business environment like here at KDNK, for instance, you know, I think I texted you or emailed you right away when I first tangled with this thing, because it just occurred to me, I'm like, what havoc it would wreak if somebody was to get, you know, an attachment that says, oh my God, I can't believe you were dancing like this. And it's like, oh, I don't remember dancing. And they click on it, and next thing you know, it'll basically go into the air serve, and it would encrypt everything there. It would all be gone.
But you've got us backed up all over the place. We're ironclad. We've got an iron wall.
We do.
Trump Industries wall.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. It's like the wall in the Michael Moore movie, you know.
I haven't seen that,
balcony. Yeah. So, but anyway.
The digital wall. Louis the computer guy. First one you got to go through.
Yeah. In case you haven't heard, we're building a wall. So, do not open those attachments. And then the other little tip that I've been giving out. I talked to somebody today who has basically fallen for a cold call scam four times now, four different times in her life. And every time, you know, it's like the Microsoft logo looks really, or, you know, it was actually a page that came up on her computer. And how many of those have you gotten, Matt?
Clients? Far too many.
Far too many. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the good news is, we'll just throw it out there that, if your computer gets locked up on a web page and some of them start doing a siren, right? Mm-hmm. They start screaming or whatever.
Call this number.
Yeah. And it's got a phone number that you need to call. Some of them have an FBI logo on them. The best thing to do is to just power your computer down. Just press the power button and hold it until it goes dark. Wait a few seconds, start it back up, and you'll probably be fine. But if you call the phone number, you will not be fine.
Yes. So, unless you have your browser set to pick back up where you left off.
Yeah.
In which case, you need to reset your browser.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good point. How do you do that?
So on Google Chrome, for example, go up to the little hamburger in the upper right-hand corner, go down to settings, and then it's like the first or second thing, it asks you close Chrome, how it wants to come back up.
Mm.
And so there's usually three options. One is continue from where you left off, which at this point with the attack ads and things is a little bit of a dangerous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just start with like a blank window, you know, just like the Windows or the Google logo, and that's about it. And then the other one is you can set, you know, however many tabs to open to specific websites, and that's usually what I do.
Yeah, so it's the second on the settings page, the second item says on startup, and it has three different choices. And the first one is open the new tab page. Second one is continue where you left off. That's the one we do not recommend. And the third one is open a specific set or set of pages, and then allows you to click the link and set Google or Facebook or both or whatever. So.
You're listening to Geek Speak here on KDNK, 963-2976. Have you guys seen the new Mac Pro? I hear there's some really neat, nifty new ways to interact with your programs on it.
Well,
I know you don't like the battery, but I mean, I just heard from somebody that was getting a new one, and they were very excited about some of the new features. So
it has the function keys have been replaced on the keyboard.
That's what he was talking about.
So,
what is this?
So there's my understanding is there's like a little LED screen where the function keys used to be on your MacBook Pro. And so that area is now programmable either by the software or maybe even by you.
For like shortcuts within the program things.
So you could have dynamic shortcuts up there depending on what tool you were in or things like that. So, but it's a screen and
An extra screen.
Yeah, a little short strip of a screen.
That's above the keys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that innovative in your eyes?
I don't know. I'd have to spend a day with it to really decide on that. The thing I'm curious about is only having two USB-C connectors on the side.
Can't you expand those, though?
For charging.
For charging.
So you can charge with one of them and use something else with the other one.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's a professional laptop. At least that's what, pro, professional, I would assume.
Yeah.
So it's like, just fill the side of that thing with ports. Go for it. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I agree. But they're trying to get everything into the wireless world. It does have a headphone jack, I'm told.
Somebody was complaining that they couldn't use their Lightning headphones that came with their iPod with their new MacBook Pro. So
they removed the chime. Is gone.
The chime is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, and the back and the little
Apple in the back.
The Apple logo on the case.
Yes.
Yep.
Is no longer backlit. It's just a little flat Apple logo.
Oh, wow. Well, that's not innovative. I did just update my operating system to the very latest Mac operating system.
Do you know what cord that is when the Mac chime? You know what chord that is?
I'm gonna guess that's a F sharp.
I can't believe you knew that.
Did I guess
it? That's correct.
Yeah. No way.
Yes.
Well, when you have perfect pitch, you know. Wow, that was a total guess, so man. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Uh-huh.
Is it a pentatonic scale or a?
Oh, it's just an F sharp major chord.
Well, okay, F sharp major. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Woo! They went with almost all the sharps, It's almost all the black keys. So,
oh, wow.
That is a black. That's all black keys.
That's a great key.
Yeah.
That's a great chord. It's my favorite chord.
So. We keyboard players don't like it much, But
really?
But there's a thing called transpose. So
there's a thing called the tuba that you could go to, and it's
really an F sharp tuba.
Yeah,
is it?
You just got to wear the undies cinched up a little bit extra.
Nice.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Yes, please. We're digressing into the cinched up undies discussion
and MIDI. Here.
So let's see what else. What else is going on here?
I give up.
So should we go through backing up on a PC and a Mac real quick?
Yeah.
That's always a good thing.
Okay.
So Mac users, go buy an external hard drive. You can get a Mac one for a few extra bucks, or you can buy a regular one and format it later. But when you plug it in, your computer will ask you if you want to use it for Time Machine, and you say yes. Uh-huh. And then 120 seconds later, it'll start indexing your SSD or hard drive, and it'll copy everything from your computer to that external device.
Including, programs and everything else?
The whole thing. So if you're after you make that backup, your computer can go away, get stolen, crushed by a freight train or whatever you mode of destruction you prefer.
How often do you just leave it plugged in then and then it updates occasionally, or how does that work?
So what Time Machine does is for the first 24 hours, it backs up every hour, and then it keeps every day for a week, and then is it weekly or biweekly until the drive is full? I think it's weekly until the drive's full.
Well, it actually does snapshots every hour.
Right, but after a certain period of time, it
does another full system.
It's all iterative. So the first time you fire it up, it grabs the whole thing, and that's a full backup. And then I don't know if it does differential or incremental backups, but basically what it does is after it grabs the full thing, then it looks and says, oh, you made this document on your desktop, or these emails came in to mail or whatever, and just grabs those little chunks of information and keeps snapshots in that case.
Yeah, it's new and changed files from that point forth.
Is that innovative? Does PC do that?
Yes, you can use the backup and restore tool. And so you can do something similar where you open up backup and restore, plug in your drive, tell backup and restore, and it's a little more flexible than Time Machine. It gives you a bunch of options, but I'd say for most people, daily would be acceptable.
You have to actually go through the motions and tell it to do it, though.
Right, where the Apple's going to come up and say, hey, you put this drive in here, do it.
I like the second one better.
It's like Time Machine. This is the flavor.
Hi, you're on with the Geeks.
Hey, wouldn't that help you against malware? Because then you can always, somebody's going to ransom you, you're pretty much backed up and tell them to pack sand, right?
Yeah. So now there is
pack sand.
There is one caveat with that, however. And the caveat is that many of the ransomware softwares, so let's say you have that drive plugged in on a permanent basis, and I had this happen to one of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
They were
like
doing
Time Machine.
So they were doing a manual backup instead of a, so they were just saying, you know, grabbing their documents folder and moving it to an external hard drive. Well, it was still connected to their computer when the ransomware came in, and it nuked the backup and you know, the live copies.
Would it do that for Time Machine too, do you think?
If there was ransomware for the Mac, theoretically that would be possible. Oh, yes. Okay. So what we call that is you want to have a cold backup. So if you had like two, you know, if you had one in your safe deposit box or just simply unplugged from the computer, you'd want an offline backup if you're going to do it yourself. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to just, you know, especially with a laptop, you're like, oh, I'm going to be sitting down for 3 or 4 hours using my laptop this evening, plug it in, let it do the backup, unplug it, and then, you know, if you're using it a few days later and ransomware comes in and wipes everything out, you've lost a few days, which is okay, you know, compared
right.
to losing everything.
Right. A buddy of mine just lost it in his business, and it was a pain. So,
what kind of computer was he using?
PC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Mac. All right. Well, thanks a bunch. I'm going to go back to listening,
guys.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. So it does happen. Does it happen on Macs?
I don't. I've never seen one.
I'm right in the middle of researching that. First answer I came across is the idea behind Time Machine. It will save different versions of your files as snapshots at different times. From that perspective, if your presentation or if your file went from some particular type of file to a garbled mess yesterday at 5 p.m., you should be able to go back into Time Machine and recover the file as it was at the time of the last backup prior. Yeah, so that's looking good, but I did come across another article that was basically talking about a particular ransomware variant that is specifically targeted at the Mac. And
it does exist.
It says it's happened. There's new ransomware for the Mac, and it's called OS X Keyranger A. And let's see. But I'll kind of peruse this and report back.
Please report back with that, Lou.
Yes, I will. Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's a great question. I'll tell you. It's just.
I remember, when a lot of PCs were going down with viruses and things that they just weren't reaching the Macs. And that was when Macs were kind of in the minority. But it seems like there's a lot more people running Macs now.
Well, you know, there's a whole additional reason for that. And that is when you install a piece of software on a Windows computer, Windows computer basically allows program installers to add things to what we call the operating system environment. So an installer can add things to the computer, and it can modify the Windows startup files so that these new things that it's added will start up when the computer restarts. That's why with the Windows computer, when you install a new program, 9 out of 10 times it'll say you need to restart to use your new software. So Windows allows any Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes along to modify the operating system environment, which means that it's just that easy to plug a virus in there and make it restart, and you restart your computer and boom. The Mac operating system, on the other hand, basically mandates that all software vendors show up with their program ready to run. And that's why installing a program on a Mac basically involves dragging the icon in like a little two-paned window from the left to the applications folder, and boom, and the program runs. Now, the Mac programs will save some preference files, you know, in other words, like what color window does Steve Skinner like to have in the background when he's composing his messages or,
Puce.
You know, whatever. Exactly. It allowed us to save some things like that to the hard drive, but it will not allow any modifications to the operating system. Program installers cannot add things to the operating system in a Mac.
So when you see a Mac or a Linux machine become compromised, it's very usually that the user becomes compromised. So there's in the library folder, there's some plist files, which are the files that tell OS X how to run and how your programs to run. And save your preferences and everything. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times you can create a new user, even though the other user's infected, and use the other user to clean up the other, the yeah. one that's toast.
Yeah. It makes it easy to, you know, like in a Mac, you can start up in what's called safe boot.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get logged in safe boot, any of those things that are have been out of the library folder, you just take them, drag them to the trash, and restart the computer, and
yeah, or you can just
good to go. So
just wipe out the old library. It'll go, oh, there's no library.
Rebuild it.
Grab mm-hmm. the default library and put it the defaults back in there mm. for you.
I didn't know you could do that. So it I would be afraid to do that. So.
I always just move it to like library dash old or dot old.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll make a new one for you that's that defaults if the library's hosed.
Yeah.
Hosed.
If it's yeah. hosed. That's a technical term, by the way.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 9632976. Still time for your phone call. Very interesting. We're talking about backup really quick again. With the Mac, you've got the Time Machine. And what about iCloud? Do you need that too? Is that a redundant system that does the same thing?
Well, my opinion, we'll just weigh in one at a time. My opinion about iCloud is that the most functional thing about iCloud is having parity across all your devices, pads, pods, and phones and computers, Macs, in your calendars, your contact list, and your web bookmarks, and photo library, or at least, you know, what they call what's the photo stream. And so it gets kind of complicated pretty quickly. And the thing is with iCloud, if you really want to use iCloud as a cloud-based, you know, like a storage space, be prepared to pay the extra, what is it, $9.99 a month, I think,
for the additional
storage, because you will very quickly, 5 gigabytes these days is nothing. And you'll basically clog that up with, you know, six months of good photo taking.
And then so, after that, know, it's only $9 a month?
But depending on what plan you get. So
exactly.
So it goes up. I think the first one is it 50 or 60 gigs? And then it goes all the way up to terabytes mm-hmm. if you choose. But it seems a little cost prohibitive for a backup system. Something like Backblaze or Carbonite may be a better option at that point for doing backup.
I'm a big Dropbox fan because I think, you know, the cost for like unlimited storage on Dropbox or a terabyte is like $4.99 a month or something. So,
hi, you're on with the Geeks.
Hey. Can you answer a question about Android smartphones?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a Samsung J7, and just a couple of days ago, it started, all my calls started going to voicemail, and I noticed, too, a couple of times that the clock was off, like by 2 hours.
Sounds like it's not quite attaching to the, what network are you on?
Virgin.
Okay. Let's see here. I would probably give them a call. You may need to like have them kind of reattach your phone to their network. There may be a number to call. Supposedly it's supposed to do it automatically anymore, at least on Verizon, where every once in a while you used to have to dial a star something number. And it would reprogram your phone.
You call it refreshing the phone, I think.
Yeah, I've had to do that before.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to do that automatically, but it sounds like maybe your phone isn't connecting to the network properly or not giving proper location. It's not communicating with the wireless net, with the LTE network properly. So we probably need to, tell it to reconnect. And that's probably the best way to do that is to call your provider and ask them how to do that. The other thing, if you have everything backed up, would be to do a factory default on it, but I would try the first option, because otherwise you'd have to wipe it and start over and see if that fixes it, but that's the nuclear option.
If I have to back up, what's the best way to do that, or easiest way? Because of course I haven't.
Okay, well, the first thing to do is to make sure you have your Google account connected to it, if you have one. And make sure that your contacts and everything are connected. So everything's synchronized to your Google account. And then you'll have to plug it into your computer and use a file transfer tool and grab the pictures and things like that. I think there's some backup tools, but I haven't used any of them.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time. Thanks for calling 9632976. 5 minutes before the hour, you've been listening to Geek Speak. Underwritten by Louie the Computer Guy and Umbrella Roofing. I'm Steve Skinner with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thank you, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk and...
Go ahead.
Cursed Valley Productions.
Ha 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 ha